This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Saying that the time has come to pass on the mantle of leadership, Governor Rick Perry announced earlier today that he will not seek re-election next year. This brings an end to his record-setting tenure as chief executive of Texas, and Perry's departure sets up the biggest political shuffle in Texas since 1990, the last time that there was an open race for governor. How should Perry be remembered as governor? What is his legacy? Will he always be remembered for that whoops moment? Or does this create an opening for Democrats looking to make a Texas a two-party state? SMU political science professor Cal Gilson joins us to discuss a Texas without Rick Perry. Welcome to The Source, Cal.
Thanks, David.
And we also take your phone calls. Later on, we're going to hear from Paul Burka from Texas Monthly. We want to hear from our listeners. Call in at 614-8980. What do you want Texas or Rick Perry to be remembered for? You could also email your comments into thesource@tpr.org. So, Professor Gilson, let me ask you, how will Rick Perry be remembered for his years, 14 years as governor?
Well, he'll be remembered differently by different people. Conservatives, Republicans in particular, will remember him as a governor who was a stalwart on small government, low taxes, deregulation, personal responsibility, holding the line on tax cuts in particular, which he talked about in his statement today. But others, Democrats and progressives, will think of him as the person who did relatively little to buttress public education, access to health care, even security in regard to water and the development of our transportation system. So different people will see him differently, but he was a consequential governor.
High school seniors will be graduating without any memory of anyone other than Governor Perry being in the governor's mansion. How did he reshape the governor's office?
Well, that's a very interesting story. He became governor in December of 2000 when George W. Bush went to Washington, and he won't leave office for another 18 months. He's the only governor in Texas history to have served two terms in a row, let alone three terms in a row in the last part of Bush's. So over that, what will be 14 years, he had the opportunity to name every appointed official in Texas state government, many of the Supreme Court justices, many of the Texas Railroad commissioners, lots of judges, and everybody in the executive branch. Those people hold their offices generally for 6 years. So if you're a governor for only 4 years, you leave office with a lot of people holding over from the previous administration. But anyone in an appointed office in Texas state government today was appointed by Rick Perry at least once, and many of them two or three times.
The number to call to join the conversation, 614-8980. What do you think about Rick Perry's and his announcement that he will not seek re-election? And Perry's appointments to the Texas Board of Regents, the UT Austin, that's certainly a kerfuffle right now, where there's an activity to try and impeach one of the regents. So it's like a tug of war over the future of UT.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, and that's not the only place. Terry Perry appointed the person who is in charge of health care services in Texas now and helping to resist Obamacare. But as far as the universities go, Rick Perry has been very determined over the last decade to put his own people, close associates, into the Board of Regents and even into the highest academic positions at UT and Texas A&M for the purpose of trying to move the state universities toward a more low tuition, more quick graduation posture. Many people worry that that's making our great universities more like our junior colleges, less research-oriented, more teaching-oriented. So it's been a big fight, and it's an ongoing fight.
Under Rick Perry's tenure, we've seen the GOP just solidify its power in the state. Was that part of the Perry agenda?
Well, that agenda goes back further than Rick Perry. He certainly wanted to solidify the Republican Party, but you've got to give credit to Karl Rove and George W. Bush, because when George Bush was elected governor for the first time in 1994, Bob Bullock was elected his lieutenant governor, and four other Democrats won statewide that year. But when George W. Bush won re-election in 98, that was the first Republican sweep, when they took every one of the statewide offices, and they've won all the offices in every election since. Certainly, Rick Perry saw that coming, because he moved from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party before he was elected agriculture commissioner and lieutenant governor, but he worked very hard as governor to lock in that Republican majority.
Rick Perry was the Al Gore Texas chairman when he was a Democrat.
He was, and he was uncomfortable as the Al Gore chair, but at that point he saw himself as a rising star. He happened to be a Democrat. But Karl Rove took him aside, whispered in his ear, and said, look, there's nowhere to go in the Democratic Party in Texas. The Republican Party is on the rise. If you want to rise with it, jump on board. He went home, slept on it one night, and did it the next morning. So one thing people say about Rick Perry is that he is light on his political feet. When he sees an opportunity, he gets in position to take advantage of it. So the question is, what's he doing today when he says, I'm not running for governor again? Does that mean he's setting himself up for the next move, maybe a run again for the president of the United States? Maybe he's going to go off and make some money. He's not a wealthy man. He's looking at retirement at some point, and he needs to put a financial foundation under himself and his family. So we still have to watch Rick Perry to see which way he's going from here.
Before Rick Perry was lieutenant governor, he was the agriculture commissioner of Texas. He was selected by Karl Rove to take on Jim Hightower, the populist. Before that, he was a state rep. So how was Rick Perry able to take out Jim Hightower, who was very popular at the time?
Well, Jim Hightower was very popular at the time, and he was in that progressive populist tradition in Texas politics. It was strongest in the early part of the 20th century, but by the time you get through the 1970s, it's really beginning to wane, and Hightower was popular in the sense that he was a comedian. He was funny. He was interesting. But when he was challenged on a more ideological and partisan basis, he fell pretty easily to Rick Perry.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Professor Kyle Gilson of SMU, and we're going to talk more about Rick Perry. The number to call to join the conversation, 614-8980. Governor Perry announced today that he will not seek re-election, but it's still a question, a mystery, if he's going to run for president again. We're going to talk about that when we come back on The Source.
As president, I'll end Obama's war on religion, and I'll fight against liberal attacks on our religious heritage.
And that's what Americans are looking for. They're looking for a tax plan that basically says you're going to be able to keep more of what you work for. It's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the, what's the third one there? Let's see.
West is a really small community. Just a few thousand people. Anyone who grew up like your dad did, Doc, in a small town like West, they know that this tragedy has most likely hit every family. It's touched practically everyone in that town.
What we witnessed Tuesday was nothing more than the hijacking of the democratic process. Today, I am announcing I will not seek re-election as governor of Texas.
And that is Governor Rick Perry, who announced today he will not seek re-election, but who knows what is in his future. We've got Professor Cal Gilson of SMU here on the line. And so people are theorizing that Governor Perry is trying to be better prepared to run for president than he was last time, and that is why he is not going to seek re-election. Any thoughts on that, Professor Gilson?
Well, that certainly makes sense because in 2012, he was hindered by the Texas legislative session. It got him into the race late. He took a bunch of Texas people with him as his campaign brain trust, and he didn't have his fundraising completely lined up. And he wasn't intellectually prepared to run for president. He knew what he knew as governor of Texas quite well, but anything beyond that, foreign policy, national security, military affairs, he was very thinly informed about, and that showed relatively quickly. So if he is preparing a second run for presidency, and he certainly hasn't ruled that out, he's going to be governor for another 18 months, but that is, at best, a part-time job, so he can train himself for a second presidential campaign and try to be better prepared intellectually and substantively for that. But as I say that, you think about Rick Perry, and you have to ask yourself, is he the kind of person who sits down at the kitchen table with briefing books open and pores over them to become better informed? And I wonder about that myself. So if this is what he's doing, he needs this time to get ready to run for president. But he certainly wants us to be wondering about what he's doing for the next 18 months.
The number to call to join the conversation, what are your memories of Rick Perry as governor? What are your impressions? What are your predictions? What will he do? Give us a call, 614-8980, 614-8980. A lot of people are wondering if this what this means for Democrats in Texas. There's certainly a lot of activity, the Battleground Texas effort to turn the state into a two-party state. Having this shuffle, the musical chairs for the Republicans, and as they move up, some people friends are turning on each other as they compete. Could it fracture the Republican Party? Could it create an opening for Democrats, Professor?
I don't think so. I think what it will do is energize the Republican Party because this is the first time since 2002 that we've had an opportunity for all the current office holders to move up. So Greg Abbott, the Attorney General, is poised to run for governor. There are three or four people who are going to challenge David Dewhurst. That's the one place where the Republican Party is going to be at each other's throats. But then we've got some very interesting races. George P. Bush, for example, for land commissioner. And it's just going to be very interesting on the Republican side. The Democrats are trying to prepare themselves to be a competitive party in Texas, but they're about a decade away, despite this recent Wendy Davis scuffle in the Senate. What I look at in terms of the competitiveness of the Democratic Party is that the Hispanic share of total votes cast in statewide elections in Texas over the last decade has been 19 or 20%, meaning Hispanics cast 19 or 20% of the total votes cast. That's got to get up toward 30, 35% for the Democratic Party to be competitive in Texas, and that will be the work of a decade, even if the Democrats work systematically at it.
So you mentioned Attorney General Greg Abbott as being the front runner for the governor nomination for the GOP. Any chance that is there any other challengers for Greg Abbott? And do we have any idea what kind of governor he would be as opposed to Rick Perry if he should win all the way?
Well, there's one other person who's already declared on the Republican side for the governor's office, and that's Tom Paquin, who 15 years ago during the Bush years as governor was head of the Republican Party in Texas, but always at odds with Governor Bush. He has most recently been the Texas Workforce Commission director, not known well statewide, not, I think, a serious challenger to Abbott. So Abbott is expected to to win the Republican nomination and then the governorship without serious competition. It's Lieutenant Governor's job that David Dewhurst, the incumbent since 2002, is going to have to fight like the devil to hold because Patterson, the land commissioner, and Todd Staples, the agriculture commissioner, both already statewide officials, are challenging Dewhurst for that job, and that's going to be a real fight. Dewhurst is very wealthy, and he'll spend a lot of that money trying to hold the office, but he was bloodied by Ted Cruz in this recent Senate election, and he stumbled in his guidance of the Senate during the Wendy Davis abortion debate. So there's blood in the water there. That'll be a very big fight, but it gets very interesting below that.
Thank you so much for joining us, SMU Professor of Political Science Cal Jolson. Thank you for your observations about what it means for Texas now that Governor Rick Perry will not seek reelection. He made that announcement earlier today. And we're going to go ahead and turn to Paul Burka, the senior executive editor for the Texas Monthly. Paul, welcome to The Source.
Oh, thank you.
So what was your reaction? Did you know for certain that Governor Perry was going to announce that he was not going to seek re-election today, or were you convinced he was going to announce that he would seek re-election today?
I was pretty sure he wasn't going to. I think that got to be sort of conventional wisdom around here, that he had other fish to fry and for him to run for re-election, it wasn't much of a risk, but there's still a possibility that you could lose, and I just didn't see Perry would ever take a chance to do that. I mean, if he thought, you know, Wendy Davis might actually be a challenger, I don't think Perry ever shirks an opponent, but I just don't think he could afford to take the chance that someone might just emerge and challenge him. So it wasn't a surprise to me.
So I went to the website this few minutes ago, rickperry.org, and it is his campaign website. He's got a brand new campaign video just put up like an hour ago. Texans for Rick Perry paid for it. It's about him being the greatest job creating governor in the United States, and it's called Texas Works, and it's amazing campaign video for a person who is not going to run for re-election.
Well, he also put out a fundraising letter over the weekend, which is an amazing thing for a person not running for re-election.
So what can we infer?
I think we can infer that Perry plays his cards very close to the chest. He has never been much of one to give the media anything. And I think today, you know, he described this as an exciting bit of news about his future, and it wasn't exciting, it wasn't news, and it wasn't about his future.
All right, we're going to go to the phones. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 614-8980. Viola is standing by, and welcome to the show. Welcome to The Source.
Hi. As far as Rick Perry, Governor Rick Perry, I'm glad he's going to be gone. And I think that it'll be very interesting, almost a roller coaster ride, to see who gets elected governor next. So it'll be interesting to watch Texas politics. I'm a Hispanic, and I'm a woman, and I'm a sixth-generation Texan. So, and it's just been recently, since I've been a subscriber to NPR and TPR, that I've really gotten more interested in politics, because I think I've become more educated thanks to your radio station.
Well, thanks for listening.
I just wish a lot more people would. I live in Laredo. I don't live in San Antonio, but I think it helps us when, you know, we can get the radio and we can listen
all right
to your shows, and it educates us so much on what's actually going on in Austin. And I think we're in for a wild ride. And as far as Rick Perry, I think, unlike most women, I don't think he ever really represented us. And so I think we'll all be glad he's gone. I just hope he doesn't embarrass us too much as Texans. Did he seek to run for president like he did last time?
All right. Well, thank you for your call. Appreciate that. Mr. Burka, any reaction?
Well, I think there was a sense last time that he embarrassed the state. And I think that's one thing a Texas politician cannot do without incurring trouble. But I also think that, you know, Perry learns from his mistakes. And, you know, I think he's planning to run for president again. I don't have any doubt about that. And so, you know, the question is, are there people who are going to be willing to fund a race for Perry for president?
Sure.
And, you know, what's his constituency?
You know, one thing about Rick Perry, politics aside, I always thought that he was very good in a crisis. When we had a hurricane or something happening, that he was very big at marshaling the forces and doing things to make sure that our public servants had the tools they needed and communicate to the people about what was happening.
Well, he referred to that today in his address. He referred to bringing people in from New Orleans and helping them in Katrina. And he has been a very good disaster president, although it was surprising that he didn't go to West after the disaster there.
I'm going to take one more quick caller. Chip, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great. Go ahead.
I just want to say I lived in Texas all my life, and I've always made political jokes, but there came a point in the late 80s, early 90s when it ceased to be funny. And all I have to say is to Rick Perry, good riddance. And maybe it's time for there to be an adequate discussion of what governance of this state really needs to be.
All right. Thank you, Chip, for that. We've got about 30 seconds left. So, Paul, if Greg Abbott does become the next governor, we're not going to see changes in policy. We may even have become even more intense.
Well, the thing is, nobody knows what Abbott stands for. He has not had to make one statement about what his beliefs are, what he cares about.
All right. Great point.
Complete mystery.
Great point, Paul Berker. Thank you so much. This is The Source on KSTX.